Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, what up, man? This is Randy McMichael of 99 The Game here in Atlanta, Georgia. Also, always going to be a Georgia Bulldog, former the greatest tight end in Miami Dolphins history, Randy McMichael, and you're listening to me on the Jake Brown Show.
That got me hyped. Damn. The GOAT. And welcome to the Jake Brown Show, CBS Radio's radio.com podcast network, iTunes, and Spotify as well. Follow us on Twitter at Jake Brown Radio and Jake Brown Show. Rate us, review us, call us the GOAT of podcasts, as you heard in the drop. This man on the line, Randy McMichael, said it, laid it out on the line for you guys, said, I am the greatest tight end in Miami Dolphins history. Randy McMichael, 92.9, the game, Falcons pregame, played 11 years in the NFL. Randy, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. And they also sound the best tight end ever played at Georgia, too. But, I mean, I don't want to bring all that in. But I'm good, my man. I'm good, man. Good, glad to be on the show, man.
Well, I used to do a show with a guy who probably wouldn't say he was the greatest, but a guy from Swainsboro, Georgia, who played for the Titans, my former show, Brown and Troop, with Ben Troop. Ben was okay, but he had a much shorter career than you had.
Yeah, I know Ben. I hosted Ben on his visit to Georgia, and all I remember is his mama told me, you better not be giving my son none of those devil poisons while y'all out tonight. And that's all I remember. And she scared me to death, but I love me some Ben Troop.
Yeah, I mean, Troop is a very straight-edge guy. I don't think he drinks. I don't think he really smokes. He's very straight-edge. When he was here, he didn't understand how great New York pizza was and thought Pizza Hut was better, and then I had to show him around some New York pizza.
He's a country boy.
He is.
Country boy. Yeah. He is what you call, like, just a live wire without any alcohol. He is drunk off life, man. He's a great guy, man.
Yeah, he definitely is. And he loves Publix. I know that. He's a big Publix guy. And Kroger. There's this Kroger place down there. What is that, a grocery store? I don't even know what it is.
Dude, have you ever been to the South? Man, yeah. Kroger is a great place. Publix, I love Publix. I just came from Publix today. I'm about to make dinner for the family. I had to go to Publix.
I like Publix.
Publix nice. Subs are the best subs there are. That's, I mean, people get mad at me when I say that, but it's true.
Yeah, this is tight ends is uniting. I mean, he would say the exact same thing about Publix. I just didn't know what Kroger. We had Jamal Anderson on. He's talking about Kroger. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I think I saw one in Virginia. I was in Virginia over the weekend, and I saw one, but it was just like a gas station, basically.
You need to get out more, you need to come down to the South.
Well, my family lives outside Charlotte, so I know the South. I lived there for a year.
Kroger, Piggly Wiggly, I mean, you know.
Piggly Wiggly, I heard of that,
Piggly
too.
Wiggly. Jeez. Piggly Wiggly is where they have all the Bennett cans, so, a Food Depot, I mean. In the South, we got to do what we got to do to eat.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm a New Yorker, so I'm about that New York pizza and chicken parm and all that stuff. Let's talk some football here. I could talk food all day with my big-ass belly. But the former team, and you said you're the best tight end there, the Miami Dolphins are shocking the world with the way they beat the Falcons. What the hell happened to the Falcons, and what the hell happened igniting the Dolphins on Sunday in that crazy win?
Well, the first thing I'm going to talk about are my Dolphins. I was happy that they won the game. It was great being there in the stadium and interacting with all the Dolphin fans that came over and wanted to take pictures and everything. They just – the first thing they did, because I just watched the game this morning, we watched it, they just dominated the line of scrimmage on the Falcons. And we know the Falcons are built for speed. They're not that big. They want to run sideline to sideline and make plays that way. But what the Dolphins were able to do is they were able to just go straight at Atlanta, and Atlanta couldn't stop it. And we were talking to Jimmy Cephalo, who is the voice of the Dolphins on the pregame show with me and Mike Conte, and we were talking about Jay Cutler. And I mean, and I'm no fan of Jay Cutler, whatever. Jay Cutler played a marvelous second half, other than the interception, which Grady Jarrett late hit. If he didn't late hit him, that's a bad interception. But he played so well. They didn't have miraculous numbers. Jarvis Landry did what he did as far as making people bounce off of him and get that extra yard for the first down. But the run game, I mean, Jay had 26 carries for over 130 yards. That was the deciding factor. Now, to the Falcons, they just got whipped, and they did. I mean, up front, the Dolphins on both sides of the football were able to whip them. And that has been the Falcons working for the Atlanta Falcons, and you got to break down tape and everything, as I do. Every time they have a negative play, it's usually because somebody's losing that one-on-one battle. And that's where I see this team right now, and it's bad because they're still trying to live down the 28-3 thing. Mm-hmm. And now you've blown a 17-point lead going into a weekend where you're playing the team that you blew it in the Super Bowl. So things are, I don't want to say panic around here, but as you know, Jake, you've been around fans so long, mm-hmm. you know, the buzz is coming around. Is this a Super Bowl hangover?
Yeah, and I mean, you lose to the Dolphins like that, and it's not getting any easier, Randy. They got the Patriots, as you said, and then coming up later on, the Panthers, Cowboys, Seahawks, and then you got your divisional games, and then the Panthers to end the season again. I mean, you got to be a little concerned here, especially considering that their three wins weren't too convincing, and the one versus the Bears, they really should have lost if Butterfingers weren't passed around the entire Bears locker room at halftime. It's got to be concerning to think, hey, this team, you would think, hey, we're winning this division, we're winning the South. Now the South is up for grabs.
Oh, yeah, there's two reasons. Okay, you look at what the Falcons, they should have lost to Chicago. Mm-hmm. If a call in Detroit goes the other way, they lose that game. I mean, the only real good game that they played was probably the first three quarters of the Green Bay Packers game. Mm-hmm. And the first half of the Dolphins game, they played really well, but for some reason they have a hard time closing out games. The South right now, and I'm not going to jump on that Saints defense bandwagon right now, because that's what everybody's saying. The Saints are playing enough defense for the win. You know Drew Brees is going to put up points. You saw that they can run the football when it's not, well, do I give Adrian this carry, or do I give it to Mark, or do I give it to Kamara? Just give it to Mark Ingram. He is that bell cow, that bell cow runner. You saw that with the performance he had on Sunday. Cam, he looked good. No. Cam looked great against New England. He looked great. Now you go to the Philly game. What happened? I don't know. A couple of those interceptions weren't his fault, so we don't know what Carolina is. Tampa Bay, I still think they are not ready yet for prime time. They've had a lot of injuries, and I keep saying this about Tampa. I want to see how they are when their first 22 are all healthy and on the field and see what they look like, because they've had injuries at key positions. But right now, I still think the Falcons are the most talented team in the division. And right now they're going on the road for three straight weeks. That could help a team, because everybody knows as a player on a team, the road, playing on the road just brings your team closer together, because you have a focus, you're in a hotel with just your friend, your teammates, there's no outside distractions. So I'm hoping that these three games on the road will help the Falcons.
And that's so odd. You rarely see a team play three games consecutive on the road. But, they need to shake it up after the last two home losses. What's the feel there around the new stadium? I mean, how is the new stadium?
It's unbelievable. It is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful building. And it's so crazy when I'm driving to work and you're driving down Northside Drive and you see where the Georgia Dome is. But this Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it just towers it. It's basically like the Georgia Dome, it's in the way. I mean, it is an unbelievable stadium. And I didn't expect anything less with a man like Arthur Blank. I mean, Arthur Blank he's a phenomenal owner, phenomenal businessman. I mean, you talk about just first-class everything. I mean, I know you heard about the soccer team here, Atlanta United, how the fans are just ruckus, and it's like one of the best home fields in all of MLS. It is a beautiful, beautiful building. Now, that LED light, it gets a little bright, and I'm sure they're still trying to figure those things out, but other than not opening the top of the stadium, it is a gorgeous building.
And on the food side, because we got to talk about food here. aren't the prices cheaper there or something, or is that not
true?
Yeah,
man. I mean, they got dollar hot dogs. And, I mean, it's real. I mean, just the essential stuff. You know, the usual.
Like popcorn
go to
and
the
soda.
Game. Like when we were younger, the go to the games were like the popcorn, the hot dogs, and the soda, and the nachos. Those are real cheap. Now, there's other stuff in there now where you got to pay for it, like, you know, different, like, steak places and all that. But, I mean, and unlimited refills on soda, they have that there. But the fans have seemed to enjoy it. And, I mean, every time I go in there for work, I mean, I'm still in awe if you just look at how beautiful it is inside.
So there's no, like, $5 beers there?
No. I think it's, like, $6 for a beer. And, you know, I love my beer, but I refuse to pay $6 for one beer.
That's not bad, though, for a stadium. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a great price, man. And once again, like I said, the fans, they love it. But what the Falcons need to do is they need to make it an advantage by winning. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, what's the use of having this beautiful stadium if you're not winning in it?
What's the use of having 8 beers for $50 again drunk if your team's going to lose? I mean, you want to have that cheap deal and hit Publix after and hit Kroger after and get your sandwiches and have yourself a hell of a Sunday, but it can't end in an L. So we'll see if the Falcons page is going to be a hell of a rematch on Sunday. Both teams have had a shaky start, but both teams are right there in the race. We're talking with Randy McMichael on the Jake Brown Show. Follow him on Twitter at RandyMac81. Another former squad you played for is the LA Rams, who have shocked us all so far at 4-2. Todd Gurley's looking like a star. What's your overall take on the Rams here? Can they win this division?
Well, it's crazy because before the beginning of the year, me and my co-host, me and John Chuckery, we were doing like who's going to win what division. And I said that Seattle will win the West. I think Arizona might be better. But I said the L.A. Rams are going to make the playoffs because of the fact is they got a guy that helps quarterbacks. I always thought that Jared Goff was drafted into the worst offensive situation a young quarterback can be in. Jeff Fisher, and we still don't to this day don't know how he continues to have that job as long as he did. But at the same time, they could not develop quarterbacks. They had the most predictable. I remember, I think Todd Gurley said it was a middle school type offense. Todd run up the middle. But the key thing they did is they went out and got offensive linemen to help. They went out and got a veteran like Whitworth from Cincinnati, the guy, leadership, stalwart left tackle. They're being creative with Todd Gurley. They're not just handing the ball up the middle. They're throwing it to him more. You see that, I mean, I still want to see Sammy Watkins more involved, but I love that tight end Everett. I loved him when he was coming out. I said he is McVay's Josh Reed in this offense. You saw that with the shovel pass he caught against Jacksonville on Sunday. But I am loving this team. Only doubt I have is that run defense. As good as Aaron Donald is, he's a penetrating defensive lineman. He can play the run, but his sole purpose is to get after the quarterback. And I think a lot of that has to do with that 3-4. A lot of them they don't have a lot of 3-4 personnel. They have good players that are playing in positions, but they don't have that personnel right. So that's what scares me is their run defense.
And the fact that they're 4-2 is Sammy Watkins almost non-existent so far. This guy can show up. We've seen some shade, a little bit of shade here and there from Cooper Kupp, who's looked okay. But I mean, if Watkins shows up, this offense could even be even more dangerous. They've scored 46, 20, 41, 35. Had the bad game against Seahawks and then 27. So this team is scoring at will with Watkins not even there. So really, the sky is the limit for this Rams team. I said they'd win 6 or less, but I look like an idiot now. They look like they should be at least an 8-8 team. We'll see. Your other team you played for is finally getting the winning column here the last couple weeks, the L.A. Chargers. My guess is you'd imagine this is not a playoff team and probably another Rivers 7-9, 8-8 team.
But I think based on personnel, they should be a playoff team. And my favorite phrase on Twitter is, damn kickers. I mean,
Young Ho Koo.
Damn kickers. But at the same time, I mean, you just look at the transition. My wife is from Los Angeles. We were out there a couple weeks ago, and we were driving, and we actually went by the stadium and where they're at. It just seems like it's just that transition. It's not working. And I know there are a lot of jokes coming out talking about they want to send them back to San Diego and all these things in the home field because while my wife went to the Dolphins and Chargers game, and she was like, there were more Dolphins fans than Chargers fans. Hmm. I don't think, as big as LA is, I don't think two teams will work there. But I can say that. But if you're winning, fans will come support. But right now, it just seems like it's an awkward fit. And I just think that the two wins that they've gotten, it just shows that these guys are going to fight. Everybody knows how much I think of Phillip Rivers, how much I love that guy. And he seemed to me, he's willing the team along with that young Melvin Gordon, the running back. Hunter Henry, I think he's going to be a superstar tight end taking over for Antonio Gates. What's the deal with Mike Williams? I think they're afraid to say that this kid is damaged goods right now and we want to put him on IR and wait for him next year. But I think they're afraid because they spent such a high draft pick on him. Defensively, they're having trouble against the run. But I'm trying to figure out if they're a better bookend rushers than Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram right now.
What was it like playing with Rivers? Obviously, we know. I've heard he doesn't really curse, which doesn't seem
He doesn't curse. Not really. No, his favorite words are dag nabbit and shoot. I just remember this when I decided I was going to go to San Diego, and it was so crazy because I was going to Vegas for Memorial Day. Agent Drew Rosenhaus calls me. He's like, I just called the phone, Norv. What do you think about going to San Diego? I'm like, why would I go to San Diego? I'm a tight end one. They got Gates there. I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. And then I sat around at the pool with my boys. They were like, man, San Diego might be a good fit. And then it so happened that some of the Chargers players were there. And we were just talking with them and everything, having a good time. And then I called Drew. I said, you know, I think I'll do the San Diego thing. And so I call them. They're like, well, can you come in Tuesday? So I fly from Vegas over to San Diego, do my physical and everything. And when I walk in the building, now, no, this is the off season. When I walk in the building, the first person in the lobby is Philip Rivers to greet me. And from then on, I was like, this dude, I mean, he's fiery, yes. He gets after, he's a trash talker, but he's not a smarter quarterback. He calls out everything. And if any defensive player that's played against them, they'll tell you, Philip calls everything out. Now, Philip starts pressing when they get behind and wants to make every play sometimes. That's why he throws so many damn interceptions. But, I mean, you won't find a better leader at the quarterback position, number 17.
Did you like going there? Your numbers dipped, and obviously you're behind Gates. I mean, you talked about Rivers, but, I mean, do you feel like that was the best spot for you?
I really did. At the time, I didn't, because I was never – I mean, they were like, Norvus, you know, when I sat down, they said, you're going to have to play special teams. You know, we run 12 personnel, so you're going to be on the field 80% of the time, but you're not going to catch all the balls you used to and everything. But the thing about it was, I just wanted to – I was never about catching balls. I just love playing football. Mm-hmm. And that was my biggest thing going there, was I knew I was going to be the blocking tight end. I knew that I was going to play teams. But the thing about it is, I prepared like I was a starter, because I started with 8 years in a row. I started every game of my career. And so my first year there, I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be a breeze. I'm going to be a blocking tight end, maybe get two or three balls. And then Gates has his foot injury, so I'm rusted to the starter's job. So, mm-hmm. But the thing about it was that I always prepared myself like a starter. So I didn't have it wasn't a big transition. But I tell everybody else, and that was one of the best things that I ever did for my career, because, you know, you leave in St. Louis and you guys are one. We won at 15 my last year there, and it was miserable. And I was, like, thinking all offseason, do I want to play football anymore? Because I just can't take it. But I went out to San Diego, and I was rejuvenated, and I had a great time out there.
Randy McMichael joining us on the Jake Brown Show. And yeah, it's an interesting career, because, I mean, you dominated in Miami. I mean, you could have not been at a better spot in Miami. While you guys didn't make the playoffs, I mean, you put up some crazy numbers there.
Yeah, I did. I mean, that was the thing about it. I was, like I said, I was tight end one. And then when I went to St. Louis, I'm like, okay, shoot, we got Torrey, we got Ike and Steven Jackson and Mark Bolger and Orlando Pace. I'm a missing piece on this offense. And then the first damn game, Orlando Pace goes down, and our season goes to crap. We can't protect. We can't do anything. Mark Bolger was shell-shocked, and I became an offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. And that's basically how I went in St. Louis.
Well, weren't you an offensive tackle in high school?
No.
You were offensive lineman.
I was a tight end, but in high school we didn't have a tight end coach, so I was always with the offensive line. So that's how I won best offensive lineman, because I was with the O-line, and they didn't have a best receiver on that team. So that's what everybody always says to me. Weren't you an offensive? No, I was a tight end, even though I did go to offensive line camp down in Georgia Southern. But, I was always a tight end.
And those offensive linemen, we know, have a lot of Kroger's and a lot of Publix sandwiches, more than you got. We're talking 300 pounds. What are you? You're like 240, 250, right?
Oh, no, right now I got the dad body. I got the retirement body, man. I'm about 265 right now, man. Yeah, you know.
Those Publix sandwiches, whew.
Yeah, the public sandwiches and drinking good and like I said, I'm the soccer dad now. I'm the retired. I'm the carpool pop now. I still wake up at 5 o'clock every morning. Get up because if you have kids, you know that there's not a lot of time in the day that you have to yourself. I know they don't get up to 6:30 to get ready for school, so that hour and a half is all I have out of my day. So I still wake up, have my coffee, watch some sports, take some notes down so I can get ready for the show.
Randy, please don't tell me. I know you're soccer dad and all. You do not drive like a Toyota Sienna.
I do not. I drive a Suburban. I would never drive a van. Okay, it'd never get that bad in the McMichael household that I have to get a van, because I love my children. I just aren't fond of everybody else's kids. So if I get to a point where I start getting fond of everybody else's kids, that I might have to get a van.
Thank God. I mean, I worry about grown men who drive minivans. It's always a scare of mine. Randy McMichael joining us. Are you sick of the whole national anthem kneeling, standing, sitting? Is that story? I mean, are you sick of it by now?
It's so irritating now because the whole message, the original message, is lost. It is, and the president hijacked it. And we all know why he hijacked the message. The president's not going good, so we had to find something. There's no better place to be than down in Alabama where he was at to say something like that, because we all know who the SOBs are, because we all know who the players that were kneeling were. Mm-hmm. And it's getting to a point where now, I mean, you got Jerry Jones grandstanding. None of his players ever kneel, but he comes out. And I said this on our show when we were doing the Falcons Radio Network. I told him, I was like, Jerry Jones could have kept that damn knee, okay, because it was all for show. And it's a damn shame that the players got upset about it. It amazed me they didn't realize that it was all for show with Jerry. And, I mean, and then you have the Saints. I'm like, what are you taking a knee for before the anthem? What does that cause? What does that do? And another thing I get irritated about is every time a quarterback goes down, oh, well, Kaepernick. Let these people coach their team. If they don't want to let Kaepernick, we all know why Colin Kaepernick will never play in the NFL again. And it has nothing to do with talent. Mm-hmm. I saw Mike McCarthy got upset about it. Now, he's a Jack Blank. He should have answered the question, but you can tell that he was getting tired of it, because if you notice his press conference when he came out and talked about Aaron, before anybody asked him a question, he said, our quarterback room is fine. We don't need anybody from the outside, because he already knew what it was going to be. Now, do I think Colin Kaepernick is a superstar quarterback? No. But do I think he's damn sure better than like a lot of these guys? You damn right I do.
Yeah, and I think the issue, part of it, is that Kaepernick's not coming out and telling us all, like, hey, I want to play and I want to play right now. Now he's filing the grievance, I guess, against owners.
Good luck with that. And that's another thing.
Good luck against billion-dollar owners. Yeah.
We all know why he's not, why he doesn't have a job. But to find the proof, like an email or something that says these owners got together and said that, I don't think it's out there. And that's going to be a hard case for him to win. I applaud him for doing what he's doing, but I just think it's going to be hard for him to prove that 31 owners and another, you know, how the Packers are owned or whatever, got together and said, I'm not getting them, you're not getting them, we're keeping out of the league. That's just going to be hard to prove.
And don't you think that hurts any possible chance of him returning to the NFL?
I don't think he was going to be in the NFL anyways, because I remember back when free agency started, and everybody was like, well, and I was one of those guys, Colin to be on the roster. Then it got closer to the draft. Colin still be on the roster. Don't worry about it. And then it got to training camp, and it was like, okay, when the quarterback goes down, he will get his opportunity. Quarterbacks have been going down left and right, and they bring out freaking Brandon Weeden, go gets a job. Guys we've never heard of are getting jobs. If that doesn't let you know that something's going on, I mean, if that can hold up in court, he'll win. But that's the thing about it. I don't know if that can hold up in court.
Yeah, Matt Castle, and then the excuse is it doesn't work in the offense.
Come on, man.
And he probably work in the Packers offense, but even they're passing up on him, and we'll see with Brett Hundley. What do you think of Brett Hundley? Do you think he could keep this team in a playoff race?
No, but I'm interested to see, because he's one of those guys that I always get on that took some bad information, left school early when they should have stayed, and develop a little bit more. Him, Brad Kaya.
He was just released.
Deron Dave. I mean, the list is so long of these quarterbacks. Just stay in school. Don't be in a hurry. But he's been in the system a long time. And that's the thing about it, is that he knows the system. All right, now, is he Aaron Rodgers? Hell, nobody's Aaron Rodgers. But can they still call their game plan? Yeah, because when you look at what Aaron Rodgers does, how much is it is just improvisation where he's just back there playing around, because his talent is so immense, he can do that. Now, they're going to have to play a lot more in the structure of the offense with Hundley. But I'm interested to see, because I loved him at UCLA, but I still thought he should have stayed one more year.
I agree. And these guys got to say, look, with Kai, you mentioned, I mean, the guy was released today, and these guys could go to the NFL all they want for the money. Enjoy your, $25,000 signing bonus, and then enjoy your one season in the NFL, and then not get your pension of $50,000 plus a year if you don't play 4 years, and you're screwed. So that's why I love Deshaun Watson. The guy played his entire career at Clemson. He won a championship, and now he's showing why he's a star, and he's absolutely dominating the NFL because of all those years in college and the winning and the veteran and leadership and the experience.
Yeah, and you look at what Miami is doing right now. I love Rozier, the quarterback, but he's a guy who stinks the whole first half and comes alive the second half. Imagine if Kaya came back with that team they have right now. Mm-hmm. Miami will be even better, I think, but I don't I just don't understand, because it's like, and you being here in the South, you know how big recruiting is and all that. Mm-hmm. And I watch the recruiting shows, and especially on signing day, and you look at these kids, and the first thing that comes out their mouth when they got nine hats in front of them, for my next 3 to 4 years, like they've already made their departure plan. I'm here for 3 years and I'm out no matter what. And they come in with the wrong mindset, because social media, they see all this glitz and glam. And it's so funny, because I tell these people, especially on the radio all the time, I'm like, you know that there were private planes and all these parties and money and fancy cars before Instagram and Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. You know that, right? It ain't nothing new, but for some reason they feel like they got to rush and get to it.
These guys doing it for the snap, doing it for the gram these
days.
Yeah,
and I make fun, because my son, it's so funny. My son, his friends come over and we're laughing and having a good time. He's like, listen, Mom, you've never done that. And I'm like, let me tell you something, young man. I've done everything on this planet, okay? I partied all over this world. Just because I don't have it on my phone or anything, because we didn't do that. We just went out and had a good time. Now it's everything. It's not true, or you didn't do it unless you let everybody know you did
it. Oh, it didn't happen unless it's on the gram or Snapchat.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm
26, so I know about the millennial.
You're a millennial. Okay.
Yeah. I try not to be like that, but I mean, it is true. It's just like, it didn't happen if you didn't get it on online. And that's the way of the world these days.
It is.
Georgia, last one, Georgia Bulldogs. Are you guys about to run the table, these Bulldogs?
Well, I mean, back in March, I was talking about this team, and of course, because I'm the only dog on our that works at our station, and they're like, how do you think that they're going to be? I said, first of all, I think the defense will be one of the best defenses in the country. And they were like, you mean in the SEC? I said, no. They will be one of the best defenses in the country, because Kirby is going to demand that of them. And I'm telling you, I went up to practice last year, mm-hmm. and if you could have seen the pace, and they were dropping like flies. They were so tired. Kirby's running like split practice, though. On one half, they're on one half. I mean, they're going back and back and back, and they're falling out. And I said, because Kirby, they're going to understand what Kirby wants out of this defense. So you got Lorenzo Carter comes back, Bellamy comes back. I think Roquan Smith has played better than any linebacker in college football. And he's worked himself into being a first-round draft pick. That's how good he is. Offensively, we got a stable of running backs. My biggest thing was going to be the offensive line. They have that settled. They have receivers. My thing was, who's going to be the quarterback? Is Jacob Eason ready to take that step? He gets hurt, Jake Fromm comes in. Jake Fromm is a guy that you just love playing with. He's like an Aaron Murray-type guy. And last week you saw that they forced him to throw the ball more, and he was able to do that. Had a freshman turnover, but, I mean, that was a heck of a play by the middle linebacker with a one-handed interception. They believe in this guy, and I think this team is really, really good. Now, am I ready to say they're going to run the table, beat Alabama, go to the national championship? I'm not going to say that. Can they do it? You're damn right they can, because they are pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. And they got Florida, South Carolina, Auburn, Kentucky, Georgia Tech on the schedule, and then potentially the boys in Alabama for the SEC championship. Should be a good one. Randy McMichael, 92.9 the game. Catch him in the Falcons pregame as they play the Patriots Sunday night, the Super Bowl rematch. Randy Mac 81 on Twitter. Randy, good talking to you, man. Talk again soon, and have a Publix sandwich for me this week.
Hey, my man. Anytime you need me, I'm here for you. I appreciate it. And I'm going to go get a foot-long Italian sub from Publix right now.
Or a Piggly Wiggly, whatever that is. All right, man. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.